Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Georgia. This is My Big Idea, an ASOS podcast. Today's guest is Danielle Pender, who is the founder and editor of Riposte magazine. This is Danielle's Big Idea. Hi, everyone. So I'm here with the founder and editor-in-chief of Riposte magazine, Danielle Pender.
Hello.
Hi, you okay?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks good. For having me.
No worries. So as well as being the founder of Riposte magazine, you're also curator at the KK Outlet. Which is a gallery and communications agency in East London.
Yes.
But did you have magazine experience before founding the magazine? Can you sort of like tell me a bit about your career history and how it led up to that moment?
Yeah. So no, I hadn't worked in publishing or anything before I founded Riposte. I'd worked at KK for about 5 years, and before that I was freelance and used to curate exhibitions and work on festivals. And after being at KK for about 5 years, they have a publishing arm, so they publish really weird photography books of very odd things. If anyone wants to have a look, it's Kessels Kramer Publishing. Mm-hmm. I've always been interested in magazines, and with the KK publishing arm, it just made me think that this was something that I wanted to explore a little bit more. So I just sort of didn't know. There wasn't a magazine that I necessarily wanted to go and work for, so I just thought, and there was a sort of, I saw a gap in the market in women's media, so I just thought that I would try and make one, something that I would be interested in reading myself.
Okay, cool. And sort of how did you, like, practically go about that? What came first, sort of getting journalists that you were already in touch with, or getting advertising, finding a graphic designer? What was sort of the bare bones of the beginning?
To be honest, I didn't know what I was doing. I had no clue. I'd never put a magazine together before, but it was all really amazing experience. So it was a really slow process because I didn't know what I was doing. But with the network that I'd built up over the 5 years at KK, so I run the gallery there, and I'd done a lot of different exhibitions with illustrators, photographers, and then had been in touch with a lot of people, writers for. Like It's Nice That, and Dazed, and so I just sort of pulled together the people whose work that I really admired and got together a sort of team of freelancers and contributors. And then I met Shaz Madani, who I do the magazine with. She's a graphic designer.
Okay.
And together we spent ages really mulling over what the magazine was, what it wasn't, and just slowly but surely sort of put it together. And I think I was thinking back actually the other day, I really didn't know what on earth I was doing. And at one point Shaz was like, we've only got photo shoots for like 3 of the articles. And I thought I'd really nearly finished. And that seems like such a basic thing, but I just hadn't really thought about the visuals and the commissioning that much. Which is now obviously a massively integral part of the magazine.
Yeah. So it's, what kind of areas does it cover? It does like art, business, politics, sort of how do you, and also it has like, I love the way it's sort of set up into 5 ideas, 4 meetings, 3 features, 2 essays and 1 icon. How did you sort of come to that format, and why did you want to cover all areas?
Yeah, I think because the content, with women's magazines, I mean, there's some. I think it's changed a lot, and I think there's some amazing women's titles on offer at the minute, which I think is great. I think anything that's an alternative to the mainstream women's media is brilliant. But at the time, it just felt like women are apparently only interested in fashion, beauty, celebrities, some sex quizzes, and that's just bullshit. And I was reading a lot of more men's magazines and more like broader cultural magazines, art and design, and it just felt like there wasn't anything that was aimed at women or by women or looked at women in those areas that pulled it all together. So yeah, we wanted something that covered a broad range, because I think I'm interested in loads of different things. I think a lot of women are. We're not just interested in a few things. And then with the format, it was through research, basically. I sort of looked at how magazines formatted themselves,
yeah,
and the, I guess, the sort of reader journey, like how you ease your way into a magazine, where the meaty bits are, and worked out what would what Riposte should have, like the, what kind of format we should follow. And I think we've slightly changed it now because it started to feel a bit too rigid.
Yeah.
And actually, so we used to have, as you said, 5 ideas, 4 interviews, 3 features, 2 essays and 1 icon.
Yeah.
But the features and the essays, they just felt a bit too long and a bit
okay.
too intense.
Uh-huh.
So we've changed that up with shorter, funnier, lighter, slightly... features, which break it up a little bit.
So the design has been hugely celebrated. Like you said, that has been an integral part of what its identity is. Where was the concept behind that, and how do you work from an editorial point of view with the graphic designer? Is it sort of a crossover of roles, or is it very, very separate?
Yeah, we work really closely together. So as I said, it's Shaz Madani is the girl that I work with. She's amazing. I'd really liked her work before we started working together. And her point of view from the beginning was that it didn't need to have like any stylistic tricks. It didn't need to be like really flashy. It should, all of the commissions should be amazing and stand alone. So in terms of her job, it was more of letting them speak for themselves, in the same way that the magazine profiles women as human beings and
yeah.
like interesting people and lets their achievements speak for themselves. We don't
yeah.
sort of come at it from a really like gender specific angle, so
yeah.
the magazine didn't feel like it needed to come from like a super highly designed angle.
Mm-hmm.
And then the way we work together, yeah, we sort of meet over beers quite a lot,
yes. the best way.
And we always have, so at the minute we're just planning number 7, so we've got a long list. And I go and meet Shaz and I've got these ideas and she's like, nah, that's crap. That's not very good. And then we whittle it down to a sort of overview of the different sections.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll think about the commissions and which artists, which photographers, which illustrators, and
okay.
then try and get a balance of photography and illustration, and really try and like bring the stories to life through the artists that we work with.
Mm-hmm.
And we work with men, male contributors as well, but
okay.
On the whole we try and look for like amazing female talent.
Yeah,
that's quite important.
Mm-hmm. And who would you say is the sort of target audience? You've sort of said about women generally enjoying all of these things, which for some reason hasn't been tapped into before, but what kind of age group or anything like that?
I think we've started doing monthly events, which has been really good. We always have like parties for our launches, and
yeah.
it's really nice to sort of meet the readers and get a gauge on what they're interested in,
mm-hmm.
and see who they are.
Yeah.
So we've kind of, and we've done a few reader surveys, and they're mainly 25
okay.
to say 40.
Okay.
A lot of girls, women who live in city centres,
yeah.
who again are interested in a bunch of different things, and
yeah.
there might be something really weird that in one of the issues that you're not interested in, but there's hopefully like a handful of things that maybe you didn't know about and you're like, oh, that's really fascinating, I'd never even
yeah.
heard of that or whatever.
Yeah,
that's the sort of aim.
That's interesting, because it seems 25 to 40 seems like quite a large group, but I guess when you're sort of presenting things like art and politics,
yeah.
there is no age group for that to
yeah.
sort of connect with people, I guess.
Exactly, and I think it's kind of, it's not ageless, because we do, yeah, we do commission pieces with certain age ranges in mind,
yeah.
but again, like when I was younger, I used to read things that wouldn't necessarily have been aimed at me, but
yeah.
I don't think that's, I think everything's really fluid now, like
yeah, definitely.
Age and gender and what people are into, so
mm-hmm.
I don't think it's as set.
Yeah,
as it used
sort
to
of
be.
Binary, yeah. So you're on the 6th issue at the moment, which is amazing. The Claire Barrow cover was
Thanks.
So, so gorgeous. Can you sort of talk me through how you think it's mainly grown from issue 1 to issue 6, what the changes are and what you've kind of like kept the same throughout the process?
Yeah. It's really funny. I look back at issue one and I'm like slightly embarrassed.
I think everyone says that though, sort of like trial and error, the first one
really,
that you do.
It makes us cringe and I'm really glad. We only printed a small amount and I'm glad that it's out of print now so that no one can see it.
Buried in a closet somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's changed. I mean, it hasn't changed and it has. Like, it's definitely... Each issue, me and Shaz again meet up and we talk about what has worked and what hasn't. Mm-hmm. And after each issue, we're like, oh my God, that was terrible. Yeah. Like, that just didn't work. And that's really good. Mm-hmm. And so we've, like, really honed in on, like, the writing styles, the commissions.
Yeah.
I think the tone has always remained the same. Like, we want a broad range of fascinating, brilliant, badass women.
Yeah.
And that's a constant, but we've like finessed it definitely. Mm-hmm. And there's hopefully less spelling mistakes.
Yeah. <There's> proofreading.
Always a couple.
Yeah. Which is your favourite issue so far?
This one, the sixth issue, yeah.
Okay, cool.
I think it's just, like I said, everything just feels slightly more finessed, and not in a way that it's definitely not clinical, it's still got a personality, mm-hmm. but it's just, I'm a lot prouder, I think.
Yeah.
We've also, with this issue, dealt with bigger issues. I could say issues one more time.
Yeah.
We've dealt with bigger topics.
Okay.
It feels like we live in really weird times.
Yeah.
And whereas in past issues, mm-hmm. We've kind of looked at cool women doing fascinating things, which we still want to definitely do, but I think to just ignore the things that are going on globally would be really irresponsible. And actually, it's stuff that I'm interested in. So, like, we had a piece on everyday activism, mm-hmm. and we spoke to Charlie Craggs, who's amazing. So,
she's like a powerhouse.
Oh my God, I love her. She was on one of our panels for the launch, and she nearly made everyone cry.
Yeah,
she's amazing. So we spoke to her. We spoke to Sisters Uncut. We spoke to Kerri-Anne Mendoza of the Canary, and just looked at how people can in their everyday life make a difference, because I think people feel quite impotent and angry,
definitely.
But they're not sure what they can do.
Yeah,
so it's kind of dealing with bigger things like that, and that's what we're going to continue to do in further future issues.
Okay, that sounds really exciting, because it doesn't look like the world's
gonna
any
chill
better.
Out
so yeah, exactly. So that'll be really good. So how do you work on the magazine? Is it from your office? Do you guys, like you said, you meet up for drinks in the planning stages? Does it get sort of more and more turbulent the closer to print deadline you are? Sort of talk me through, how you physically go about putting it together.
Yeah, so we meet up at the beginning, and then me and Charles will meet up with a bunch of the contributors, or a lot of it, to be honest, is done over email.
Yeah.
But then I do try and meet up with as many contributors as possible, just to get, so that they get the brief properly, they get the sort of angle. And then I work on it one day a week, and then around my other work and commitments, which is quite difficult, but is hopefully going to change soon. And I think when you start things out, there's like this... maybe this preconception that you should have this really nice minimalist studio with light and airy and Haggerston
everywhere.
Or whatever. that's not going to happen. It's a lot of hard work, and the reality is that you have to do things
around
late at night.
Life.
Yeah, at lunchtime, on the bus.
Yeah.
And that's just the reality. But I think that's the exciting part of it as well.
Yeah, do you sort of do the whole taking notes on phones, like on the bus when you have an idea, leave each other voice notes sort of thing? So I feel like that's how a lot of young women are working at the moment. Like you said, very kind of like almost DIY and on the go to fit around your life in that way.
Yeah.
I think that's quite joyful in a way.
Yeah,
it's
definitely.
Less rigid.
And I think it's kind of... yeah, people don't work, like, just because you're at your desk 9 to 5, you're not productive in those hours. Like, life inspires different ideas all the time.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's what makes something exciting to be part of.
Mm-hmm. So what surprised you about founding a magazine? You said you didn't have specific experience in publishing before. What has sort of been the most unexpected thing to come out of it?
I think... people are pretty surprising in the best and the worst way. Like, the contributors that we work with, they always surprise me in terms of how far they'll go and how much love and energy they'll put into it. It's amazing, and I'm like constantly humbled by how much energy and effort everyone puts in to get an issue finished. But then I've also had like horrific experiences with people.
Okay.
But that's been really surprising in terms of like, I didn't realise people could be like assholes about just such tiny things. But
yeah.
That's also been a great thing, because I think difficult people teach you a lot, and they teach you patience and a lot of things about your character that you should harness. And
yeah.
If someone's really mean to you, then you should use that to galvanise yourself to do better and yeah. to show them that
you're above it. And also, I guess it teaches you how it's kind of like a good way of seeing how you don't want to engage
exactly.
with other people.
Exactly.
Yeah. yeah. Which you might not be aware of in other jobs,
yeah.
I guess. Yeah. So what have been the highlights, both in terms of who you featured and what you've achieved?
In terms of who we featured, I do genuinely, everyone that has been in the magazine has been, like, we've handpicked them, so it's an absolute
okay.
pleasure to,
yeah.
to have them in. But then, like, a massive highlight, we had Gloria Steinem in this
so
issue.
So good.
Who's
it was amazing.
Such a badass.
Yeah.
Like, she was also so genuine and so giving with her time, and so we met her in the apartment she shared with Barbara Nessam,
yeah.
who's an artist, and they lived together in the 60s.
Dream
for
6 years.
I know. And they were like such dreamy, dreamy women. They had, yeah, and it was just really nice to sort of speak to Gloria. She's
yeah.
been covered a lot, and everyone's read loads of stuff about her, but
yeah.
she. To speak to her about friendship in that environment was amazing.
Yeah, and sort of cast her through a different lens rather
yeah.
than talking to her specifically about her activism and things
yeah.
like that. Yes, you pull out different parts of someone's character that way, which
yeah.
is, I think, the highlight of the interview, yeah. Yeah, and in terms of what you've achieved, sort of what's been a standout moment?
I think I like love seeing it in random places.
Okay.
Or I saw a girl reading it on the tube. And
oh,
I was
that's
like,
so
yes.
nice.
Because I often like forget that people are going to actually read it.
Yeah.
You're so into it making it. And then it goes out and you're like, all right, next. What's next?
Yeah, because you're stocked globally.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
yeah.
So there's just people on tubes in various other countries reading
exactly.
who you don't even know about.
And yeah, and like seeing it on Instagram in like South Korea and
so
Melbourne
cool.
is amazing. I love that.
What about the most challenging things? I guess you said people have been, I guess that falls into challenges, but
yeah, I think money's a massive worry and issue, but I kind of try not to get too stressed about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's always a challenge, getting enough money to pay for the print and pay people and supplies
yeah.
on time, and it can be really very challenging.
Yeah, and I think most people that I know that we've sort of done these podcasts where money was the barrier that initially stopped them from doing it, and
yeah.
they either got funding or found a way, but it never stops, it never goes away, that problem.
Yeah.
It's the challenge that most people say they have.
Okay,
what couldn't you live without in terms of working on Riposte? It could be a cup of coffee, sort of late at night, but it could be anything.
I think Shaz, the our designer, she's amazing. And Liv Siddle, I love Liv Siddle. She used to work at It's
she's
Nicer,
wicked.
And now she does the Rough Trade magazine.
Yeah, she's amazing.
And she's like funny, and her ideas are amazing. And yeah, she's ace.
Does she regularly contribute then?
Yeah, and she's just like, I'll send her the long list of stuff, and she's like, oh my god, that is so boring. She's like, dry,
yeah.
dry.
So, sort of positive criticism,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, so she's like my younger, more fun sister. Who's
okay.
like, no, that's really shit.
Oh, that's so good. What's your essential advice for founding a magazine? One, and then two, for being the editor of the magazine?
For founding?
Yeah.
I think starting a magazine, you need to have a point of view. Like, what's your angle? What's your tone of voice? What are you doing differently that someone else isn't doing? Otherwise, who's going to read your magazine? How are you going to pay for it? Because I've, like, kind of come at Riposte from a real business side. Point of view recent mm-hmm. more recently, like, I want to make this work long term, and I want to do bigger things with it, and
yeah.
to get past, say, what, two or three issues, you're going to have to start thinking about money, like, quite seriously.
Yeah. Having an actual model.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So I think that's really key. And then in terms of editing, I think you just, again, like, tone of voice, and how you galvanise your team and, like, where you're getting your ideas from and where... I used to do this thing where after each issue I'd have like a month of super intense research, but then I started finding that really stressful, so now I just, it's kind of like I'm always on, but that's really good because then ideas come from all sorts of random places, and you can't really like expect to be coming up with your best ideas in like a really set time,
time frame.
So yeah, like what's your, how are you going to keep yourself inspired and where are you going to get your ideas from?
Okay, cool. Okay, so if you could sum up Riposte magazine in one sentence, how would you describe it?
Sorry. It is... Someone else said something quite good that I like. Uh-huh. It's a fascinating magazine about people who just happen to be women. And I think that's quite
that's a really nice way.
Because, like I said before, we don't come at it from a super gender-specific point of view. Like, these women are amazing and they're doing fascinating things and... the sort of gender isn't always like the main driver.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you so much for coming
and talking
to
me
about this. So good. And everyone go and check it out. You can buy it in newsagents and bookshops everywhere. Issue 6. Thank you, Danielle.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
That was Danielle's big idea. Make sure you tune in next week for another inspirational story and subscribe on iTunes, Acast, or your favourite podcast app. Bye.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.